Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Before we get started today, I have a couple of important announcements for you that I want to hit right off the bat so I don't forget. And as you can tell by our title, it is called Christmas in July. And that is because we are celebrating 1 year of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. We officially launched it last year on the 26th. I had so many of my friends text me and say, congrats on 1 year of podcasting. It was so sweet. And I was like, I want to celebrate this. I'm going to do something fun, any excuse to make my husband wear something weird and to make him do a photo shoot. So that's what we did to celebrate, to get your attention, to make you listen to this podcast. So if you haven't seen that yet, check it out on social media. But we also wanted to do a giveaway. We are going to do a little fun thing. You have to pull out Spotify podcast or Apple podcast, and you are going to search The Wealthy Practitioner, and you are going to hit follow, and you are going to screenshot the fact that you followed us. Then inside of our show notes or on Instagram, you're going to see a way to submit that screenshot. And we are going to have a couple of options for you to win a sweet surprise. So you might receive something in your inbox. You might receive something in the mail. We're not going to tell you what it is, but there's going to be a couple of different things that we're doing. And so if you want to play along, we would so appreciate it. Also, throw this on your social media. Tell your friends to listen to this podcast. Our goal for the second half of this year is to really help more practitioners in particular build really profitable businesses and to be able to step into that next level, to be able to claim their purpose and their calling. And we know that we're able to do that when you guys tell your friends about our podcast. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. It really helps when I get DMs and people are like, oh my God, I love this episode, because then I'm like, okay, this is what they want more content about. The other announcement we have is super, super exciting, and that is that we are opening up another round of the 90-day sprint. We will kick off August 1st. So if you haven't heard about this program, this is our flagship program where we take any entrepreneur inside of health and wellness, primarily chiropractors who I work with. We had an acupuncturist in there too, though. So it definitely can work for a brick and mortar health and wellness clinic. And we look at doubling your capacity, doubling revenue, potentially freeing up time for you as the CEO. So it really depends on what your goals are. It's not specific to one or the other. It's just a matter of where are you at in practice and what are you looking to achieve. And in this last round of 90-day, we had people doing anywhere from 40K a month to 150K a month. And so it really is for everybody, maybe not the startup. That's what we have Wealthy Practitioner Accelerator for. But anybody that's past that 20K mark in business, we want to invite you to join us inside of the 90-day. We've already had 5 people sign up, which is crazy because I'm not even promoting it yet. We have a wait list and everything. We haven't even released it to the wait list. And we're only taking 25 people. So now we only have 20 spots left. We're going to open it to the wait list first. But you can sign up officially with the link in the show notes. If you have any questions about that program and whether or not it's right for you, you're more than welcome to hop on a call with me, or my DMs are always open if you have specific questions. But the best way I can see it, and you'll start to see us run out some promo content for this all month on social media, the best way I can say is it's like the up level that you need. If you're feeling stuck or stagnant or unclear on your next steps, it's an all-encompassing program that really can help you get to the next level. And one of the things that I'm learning the more I'm in this consulting world is that I truly just love connecting with people. And so getting to know you, your business, your family, your big, hairy, audacious goals is something that really lights my heart on fire. And I get so excited when I get to help be the facilitator to help you do that. My girl Nikki's inside of that program with me. And so we are both going to be supporting you over the next 90 days. If you do not join in this round of 90-day sprint, we will not be opening it up again until January 1st. So if you're like, I've been kind of wanting to work with a wealthy practitioner, I'm not really sure how, this is your option. And then after that, you can join us inside of Wealthy Practitioner Accelerator. That's your only other option. So if you don't join us inside a 90-day sprint in August, you'll have to wait until January. Okay, now I want to talk to you guys about something that I think I didn't realize was so impactful until I shared it with my mastermind and with the 90 Day Sprint crew. And they were like, holy shit, I didn't even realize that I had this fear. And I was like, this is a perfect thing to bring to the podcast. So I want to talk about this idea of the fear of failure or the fear of success. And for me, I have always had the fear of success. And my husband, Kyle, has the fear of failure. And so they are very different. They can be disguised as one or the other. It's really hard if you've never sat down and thought about this, where you might fall, but they both can have a huge impact on your business and the goals that you're trying to achieve. And the best way to overcome these fears, despite where you land, is just by acknowledging them and being able to meditate on them, journal on them, and then push past them. So this idea of a fear of failure is you think that you are afraid of what comes next. You're afraid of failing. You're like, what if this doesn't work out? What if this worst case scenario happens? This in turn makes you delay decisions. So you really drag your feet on making decisions, making moves, because you're scared of what you'll lose or you're scared of what might happen. And I often, being completely transparent, find that my clients that are already at $1 million have a huge fear of failure, because what they've done so far is gotten them to this point. So they've been able to go out, they've been able to make the money, hire the team, all of that. And typically when they get to me and they're already doing $1 million, they're like, cool, I'm burnt out, I need out. I don't know what my next steps are. How do I start to operate as CEO? How do I get some of my time back? And ultimately, what it comes down to is we have this fear of failure that if we remove ourselves from the business is going to fall apart, or everybody on our team is going to leave. We have all of these fears that aren't really true, but they are real fears. I know for certain, like, that fear is paralyzing. And if you're trying to figure out where you land, you just ask yourself, okay, like, if I had a revolutionary product, which you do, it's called chiropractic, and I knew that I could bring it to the world, but I'm scared of them not liking it. I'm scared of them not accepting it. I'm worried that it might not work. I know for a lot of young doctors who are still practicing their philosophy and still trying to dial in their communication, they're like, okay, but what if it doesn't work? What if this patient doesn't get the results that I'm after? That is a fear of failure. I have never really suffered from a fear of failure. That's a lie. Actually, that's a complete lie, because when I stepped into consulting, I was actually really worried that I wouldn't be able to get the results that I knew I could. It was just almost like an imposter syndrome. Like, yes, this has worked for 5 or 10 people, but can I take this to scale? Like, can I help, you know, 30, 50, 100 chiropractors at once and get the same results? And so it was almost this imposter syndrome. I didn't think I would fail because I knew if they implemented it would work, but I just didn't know if I had the capacity to produce at a scale level. And the answer is yes. It's been awesome to get to see that come to fruition. But I never had this fear of failure when I went to open my office. I just knew it would be successful. I had full conviction that no matter what, I would be successful. I'd be able to get people in the door. I'd be able to pay my bills. Now, I didn't know how successful I would be. I didn't know that things would work out the way that they did, which I'm so grateful for. But what I did suffer from was a fear of success. And so when I started making money and I started paying off my student loans and buying my dream car and taking nice vacations and flying first class and things like that, I really started to worry about judgment. What are people going to think of me if I'm successful? What are people going to think if I show up with a new bag? What are people going to think if I wear nice clothes? What are people going to think if I show up online differently and they can see my success? Are they going to think that it was handed to me? Are they going to know how hard I had to work for it? And really, that's just a fear of judgment, but a judgment of my success. And so I don't know if you guys have heard me tell this story before. It's a common story, but when I paid off my student loans in 2019, I bought my dream car, which at the time was a 2020 Range Rover, and most expensive car by far that I had ever had up until that point. And I let it stay parked in my driveway for almost 2 months. And the girls in my office, like my office manager, my associate, they were wanting to celebrate me. They were like, oh my God, where's the new car? We want to see the new car. And I was like, absolutely not. I don't want patients to know that I drive that car, because I don't want patients to think that I'm like taking advantage of them or that I'm charging them too much money. And that's why I got to have these nice things. It was just like a toxic story playing over and over in my head. Like, it makes me cringe thinking about it now, but that was the belief. So I just drove my same car to the office day in and day out. And then I had a conversation with my associate and she brought me back to reality. And she was like, Steph, when you interviewed me, which was earlier in that year, she had only been working for me at this point for 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. She's like, when you interviewed me, I honestly was like, how the hell is this girl going to pay me? Like, I expected you to show up in a nicer car. I expected you to look differently. I didn't expect me to be driving a nicer car than what you had. And it hit me in that moment that like, I was so successful, but I was scared of showing people how successful I was. And I was like, oh, wow, what is the perception of other people? That never really occurred to me. I thought I was just trying to fit in so that I could be this quiet, like accepted by everybody person, which is not who I really am at my core. I don't want to fit in. I want to be the trailblazer. I want to be the person that like is paving a new path for people. And at that moment, I was like, oh my God, she's so right. Like on paper, or if you were to see her, she looks more successful than me. I'm not advocating for going out and blowing money on things. That's not at all what this conversation's about. But I am advocating for embracing the success that you've actually generated. And I am advocating for claiming the success that's yours. And so if you're like, okay, how do I know if I have a failure of success? Do you have things playing over and over in your head? What if I can't maintain this? Do you start to see yourself self-sabotaging or holding back? Like maybe things are working out really well. You start to generate some momentum and then all of a sudden you feel yourself pull back. That's a fear of success because you're like, I don't actually want it to get better because I don't know if I can maintain it if it gets better. Or if it gets better, I'm going to start having my family ask me for money. Or if it gets better, all my friends are going to say that I'm too good for them. What changes are you most scared of? I think change could be potentially a fear of success as well as a fear of failure. I think it could go hand in hand. And there is some overlap here, but most of us have one motivating factor or one fear that keeps us stuck in that analysis paralysis. And so I'd encourage you to ask yourself, which one are you operating out of? And how can we flip the script on that? So for me, when I was fear of success, I just had to flip the script. And when I was thinking of recording this for you guys, I also was like, holy shit. So Kyle, for my 35th birthday, which is, oh God, I'm going to be 36 in November. So almost a year ago, like 9 months ago, he bought me a Rolex and it's such a beautiful watch. And it was like a monumental thing. It definitely was. I shouldn't say kind of, it definitely was. And it was so beautiful. And I think I've worn it twice. I was thinking about it as I was getting ready to record this podcast. And I'm like, holy crap, am I letting fear of success show up over and over again? Like people are going to judge me. So I have to unpack that. I have to go wear that watch sometime like soon. But also it's a really nice watch. So I do this thing. And again, you want to talk about programming. Like I do this thing and I do it with new clothes too. So my grandpa always would have new shirts. And for those of you that don't know, like my grandpa helped raise me. He was a huge part of my life. He lived to be 93. He's a huge part of my chiropractic story as well. But he would get nice shirts or we'd buy him like new shirts for his birthday or Christmas or something. And he would save them in his closet. He was like, no, I'm saving that. And I shit you not, that has transpired onto me, even though I'm 35 years old, even though I realize that is a toxic behavior or like I'm preventing myself from enjoying the joy of the new thing just because I'm saving it. It doesn't make any sense at all. And so I had this realization a few years ago when I was really diving deep into some of the limiting beliefs I was still holding on to. And I was like, okay, how can I remove these limiting beliefs? And so I started wearing like my nice dresses on a regular basis instead of when I was just traveling or speaking or teaching. It was like, no, I'm just going to wear this on a Tuesday afternoon because I want to. And that really helped. But now that I'm recording this for you guys, I realize how I've let that creep in a little bit, like in the situation with the watch. And so I also have a new pair of Valentino wedges that I see from here in my closet that I haven't worn yet that literally were a gift for Christmas. So I am going to also put this into implementation and make sure I'm utilizing the joy at my fingertips that I have now, but also letting go of some of the limiting beliefs that maybe have started to creep back in. And when I think of the fear of success for me, like I was sharing with the Range Rover, with the watch, whatever it is, it was literally just a fear of being seen for the things that I actually really like and enjoy. And so those of you that are listening to me or follow me on social media, you know that I have a bougier lifestyle. You know that I like nice things. And for the longest time, I was convinced that made me a bad person. So I wanted to hide that side of myself. I was convinced people wouldn't like me if they knew that I actually really liked shopping and it brought me a lot of joy. I thought that they were going to tell me that I was materialistic. And I'm going to share something with you guys that is actually super vulnerable. When Kyle and I got engaged, he bought me a nice wedding ring. I love my ring. It was more money than we had ever spent on anything at that point because we were still very much in hustle grind mode. It was back in 2017. He had just gotten a promotion as partner and he had just really started making money and he had my ring on layaway at a jewelry store in downtown Point Pleasant. And it's a very beautiful ring. And when he proposed to me in South Carolina, we celebrated with all of our friends. We had the time of our lives and we came home and my in-laws were like astounded by the ring. Now, it is not like Kim Kardashian status. It is not anything crazy. It's a beautiful ring. I'm not discrediting that. I absolutely love it. But it is not like, oh my God, you're shocked when you see my hand. But again, people have their own perceptions and their own limiting beliefs. And so they were making several comments to me like, oh my gosh, look at that ring. Oh, Kyle, did you have to spend your life savings on it? Meanwhile, he wouldn't even care if I told you guys this because we are such a team. I helped pay for the fucking ring. Hello, I wanted something nice. I was more than happy to help pay for it. I got his back. He's got my back. Like, we're creating the lifestyle of our dreams together. But they knew he had gotten this promotion. And so they assumed that is how he was able to afford the ring. Long story short, it got brought up a couple months before the wedding. And my mother-in-law had mentioned that I was materialistic. And I just remember that was a fear that I was holding on to, right? That was a limiting belief or this fear. That was the worst thing that could happen to me. And then it was said about me and my husband's response. She didn't know that I could hear the phone call, but Kyle at the time was like, is that the worst thing you have to say about her? That she likes nice things? That she works really hard to buy herself nice things? Because I'm cool with it. Like, I'm down. She is such a good person and she has such a good heart and she is so committed to bettering her life and those around her. I'm good if she's materialistic. It doesn't make her a bad person. And I just remember being like so overcome with emotion. One, he's sticking up for me. We're not even married yet. And two, I was judging myself. I was judging myself for being materialistic. And for him to just be so nonchalant about it, like, who cares if she likes nice things? I was like, oh my gosh, this part that I was holding on to was healed in that moment because I was like, yeah, who cares? It's okay if I do like nice things. And I think often, probably for a lot of us, we are holding on to shame or we're holding on to, we want to be able to control the narrative of what other people say about us. And it's just literally never going to happen. I give more money to both of our families than probably most, even though I'm not like a kajillionaire. We show up for them. We take care of them. My family's getting ready to visit me soon. I've paid for all of their flights. Like, I give to organizations. I give to clients. I give to my team. Like, I just love giving in general. And so you could look at me online and you're going to have a completely different perception of me if you don't know who I am at my core. And I just had to really release that fear because that was part of the fear of success. I'm kind of winding it all back together now for you guys, even though I went on a tangent. Like, that was that fear of success of like, okay, but what are people going to say about me? It doesn't really matter. And now that I have a stronger conviction, I have stronger self-confidence, I have stronger self-worth, I don't really care what people have to say about me. And that's been a journey. And sure, there are times where I still get triggered, but it just is so eye-opening when you really start to dive deep into yourself. You are going to realize where you're the bottleneck in your own business, in your own life, in your own relationships. This isn't only related to business. It's a business-based podcast. But if you have fear of success or fear of failure, you are literally bringing that to your relationship and probably self-sabotaging your relationship, potentially slowing your partner down, potentially slowing the marriage down, whatever it is, like you could be doing this inside of your relationship as well. So my advice for you guys this week is to really dive deep, see where you're being held back and how we can flip the script so you can have the practice of your dreams and the life of your dreams. I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.